We're still talking about walking in the ways of the Lord, and this is part number 10. And for the lack of a better title, I'll probably retitle it after I get it all done. But for lack of a better title, I'm using the same one from last week, The Established Steadfast Heart, Part 2. That will probably change. I just don't know what I'm going to say yet. So I know where I'm going, but I don't know what I'm going to say. So we didn't get done with last week, so it's probably going to stay the same. At the end of last week, I mentioned that there was another psalm that we needed to go through that also reveals the difference between a person that has an established heart and is spiritually minded versus a person that is carnally minded as we walk with the Lord. And that psalm was Psalm 37. So we'll be spending our time there tonight. I know I can't go through all of Psalm 37 as a teaching. It takes several messages to do Psalm 37. We will not be doing that unless the Lord says otherwise. We're going to focus on the first 9 verses, and then, depending on where we are at that time, either continue to teach it or just finalize it by reading all the way through it. But my goal is, unless the Lord says otherwise, is to complete Psalm 37 this time, because I'd like to move on to something else next week. Well, Psalm 37 is it's another chapter in Psalms which details the way of a person who is walking in the ways of the Lord, having an established heart, being spiritually minded, versus the person who is carnally minded and not walking in the ways of the Lord. We went through Psalm 23, Psalm 91. Last week we talked about Psalm 112 and Psalm 1, and also Luke 6, I believe it was. Luke 6, 27 through 37, and also Jeremiah 17, 5 through 8, we went through last week, which they also give us a good picture of what of this person looks like as he walks through his life, being spiritually minded, walking in the ways of the Lord, what our goal should be and what our life should be. Now, granted, as I mentioned last week, that is all pre-cross, but it still applies. God hasn't changed his mind. These are things that when you're walking in the ways of the Lord, this should be the type of life that you're leading. This should be what your life should look like. A lot of things that are pre-cross are also apply post-cross, and these psalms most certainly do. This is another psalm from David, and you'll see similarities in this psalm, in Psalm 1, and also Psalm 23. So we're going to start off in verse 1 and just go as far as we can. But our main focus is the first 9 verses, because like Psalm 91, the first 2 verses sets up the rest of the psalm. Psalm 37 is the same way. The first 9 verses tell us what this person that's walking in the ways of the Lord with an established heart, it sets up what he's supposed to be like. And then the benefits for this person start in verse 10 and then flow through the rest of the psalm. Psalm 37, verse 1, the first 2 words, fret not. Now, we've talked about fretting before, but fretting is mentioned a couple of times in Psalm 37. It's interesting to me that that's the first thing this guy mentions, is to fret not. Fretting is dangerous to a person walking in the ways of the Lord. You cannot fret and walk in the ways of the Lord. You cannot fret and be spiritually minded.
Right.
And you cannot fret and have an established heart. Fretting is something that Satan wants you to do so you don't have an established heart. So you're focusing on problems and issues, and so that you are staying carnally minded. Fretting about something keeps you carnally minded. It prevents you from being spiritually minded. It prevents you from standing on the Word. It keeps you from being that person that is consistently constant in his walk with the Lord. So it hinders your ability. So fret not yourself because of evildoers. Now it's qualifying it here. Evil, from God's angle of view, is anyone that's against him.
Right.
Anyone that's against the ways of the Lord. Anyone that's anti-God's ways. So the person not walking in the ways of the Lord would be considered evil. Doesn't mean he's killing people. Doesn't mean he's doing what we qualify as evil. What God qualifies as wicked is different than what we call wicked. There's somebody that does wicked stuff, we wouldn't call it wicked necessarily in our way of thinking. But we're not supposed to fret against them anyways. Fret not yourself because of evildoers. Then it says neither. Neither means what? It means don't do this also. This is going to affect you too. Don't do this. Neither be envious against those who work unrighteousness. Now, as far as God is concerned, someone who's not righteous is wicked. Neither be envious against those who work unrighteousness, that which is not upright or in right standing with God. Righteousness simply means you're right with God. In its simplest terms, it means you're right with God. Pre-cross, you had to do certain things, jump through hoops, do all certain things by the law in order to be considered righteous for a short time. Then you'd have to go have atonement done and the blood of bulls and goats, and then you could be made kind of righteous for a short period of time. Maybe you got out the door, maybe you didn't. Post-cross, we have been made righteous by the blood of Jesus. His life, death, burial, and resurrection, the blood that he shed, made us right.
Amen.
It opened the door for righteousness. When we received Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we've been made righteous. We can't earn it. He makes us righteous.
Amen.
So I'm going to read that over again as one statement. Fret not yourself because of evildoers, neither be envious against those who work unrighteousness, that which is not upright or in right standing with God, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither like as the green herb. If you don't want to be cut down and withered, don't be unrighteous, because that's what it says happens to them. So what he's saying here is, I don't have to fret about them. I don't have to be envious of them, because they're not going to last long. What they're doing is not going to remain. Well, I know a guy that lived all his life that way, and he's 110. Well, it's still a short time. It's still going to be cut off. It's not going to remain. Righteousness remains, but unrighteousness doesn't. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. So the other point that David's making here and the Holy Spirit is making, if I fret and if I'm envious, I become like them.
Mm-hmm.
So then I will be cut down like the green grass. So I don't want that to happen. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as like the green herb. Another thing about that, I don't have to fret because God's making me right. And also I don't have to be envious because God's taking care of my needs. Whatever they have, he's got something better for me. I don't have to envy what they have or envy what they're doing. I don't have to envy their ways, because there's really no joy where they're going and what they're doing. There's joy in the ways of the Lord. We're going to stay here in Psalm 37, but we're going to look at Proverbs 24.
Proverbs 24?
Yeah, verse 19. And this was interesting to me. Now, this is Solomon. A while ago, David said, fret not. Now, here you're going to hear Solomon say basically the same thing. I wonder where he got it at. He got it from Dad, didn't he? Proverbs 24, verse 19. Do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the wicked. For there will be no prospect for the evil man. The lamp of the wicked will be put out. Now it's similar. The second verse, verse 20, is similar. Verse 19 is word for word. Do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the wicked. The only word David used, evildoers, instead of wicked. But they're the same thing, aren't they? So I think Dad taught son something here, don't you? For there will be no prospect for the evil man. The lamp of the wicked will be put out. What's a lamp of the wicked? That would be his life.
It says in a couple translations that there's no future for the evil man.
No future for the evil man.
The evil man has no future hope.
What's it say for the lamp?
It says, for the evil man has no future hope, and the lamp of the wicked will be snuffed out.
They don't say lamp.
Yeah.
Or the candle.
The candle.
Yeah.
Or his life. Now, while we're in Proverbs, I was going to go to Philippians 4, but let's go to Proverbs 14 while we're in Proverbs. Now, this is talking about envy, because it says, neither be envious, the second part of Psalm 37, verse 1. The second part says, neither be envious. Proverbs 14:30 says, a sound heart is life to the body, but envy is rottenness to the bones. So if you don't want your bones to rot, don't be envious. So it sucks your life away. A sound heart is life to the body. A sound heart or a sound spirit is life to the body. But envy is rottenness to the bones. Philippians 4:6, do not fret. What's that sound like? That sounds like a commandment to me. I don't think you can take it any other way. Do not fret or have anxiety about anything. But in every circumstance and in everything, by prayer and petition, definite request, with thanksgiving, continue to make your wants known to God. And God's peace shall be yours, that tranquil state of a soul assured of its salvation through Christ, and so fearing nothing from God, and being content with its earthly lot of whatever sort that is, that peace, which transcends all understanding, shall garrison and mount guard over your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. I like that, shall garrison and mount guard. Like, what is a garrison? A bunch of troops, right? You know, like a fort. And it garrisons and mounts guard over your hearts and minds. Not just your spirit, but your mind as well. Because you're doing what it says here to do. You're not fretting. You don't have anxiety about anything. In every circumstance, you pray and you offer your petitions, definite requests. And you do it with thanksgiving, continuing to make your wants known to God. And then God's peace comes. Why? Because you're dealing with your circumstances based on the Word. You're not fretting. You're putting yourself in a place where peace can come in. You're resting in the middle of a storm. Do not fret or have anxiety about anything. Again, anything is everything, right? So how many times do we fret in our life and don't even think about it? We don't think about it. But if we do it, it's going to hinder our walk with the Lord. It's going to hinder walking in the ways of the Lord. It's going to keep us from being spiritually minded. And it's going to keep us from having an established heart in that area. So it's important that we're careful with that. That was the Amplified Classic Version, by the way. The other two are New King James. Now let's look at verse 3 of Psalm 37. Fretting can be a whole message in and of itself, which we talked about that a couple of times. But it's important that we do not fret. So verse 3 of Psalm 37, trust Again, this Psalm 37, I'll be reading the Amplified Classic. Verse 3, trust, lean on, rely on, and be confident in the Lord and do good. Now, that's what this person's supposed to be doing. So, or if I do that, so shall you dwell in the land and feed surely on his faithfulness, and truly you shall be fed. So the fret not, that's one thing I'm supposed to be doing. I'm not supposed to be envious. And here I'm supposed to trust, lean on, rely on, and be confident in the Lord, and do good. Two different things. Trust, as I mentioned before, has to be granted. It cannot be earned. So I grant the Lord my trust. I make a decision. I will trust you, Lord. Lean on. Now, you know what lean on something is. You lean on a post and it gives way. What happens?
You fall down.
But hopefully the post will hold you. Well,
is
God
the Lord, he won't fall down.
No.
That's exactly where I'm at.
Oh, okay.
That's what he's talking about there. Trust, lean on. I can lean on the Lord in no matter what's coming up in my life. No matter what's going on, no matter how big or small the problem is, I can lean on the Lord. As a matter of fact, this also could be looked at as a commandment. It's because he's telling you to do something. Trust, lean on, rely on. Can I rely on the Lord?
Amen.
I can rely on the Lord and be confident in the Lord. Now that's all actions towards the Lord. But to do good, where does that go? That goes to other people. So I'm supposed to trust and do good. See, I can trust in the Lord, I can lean on him, and I can be confident in the Lord and not do good. Yeah. I'm supposed to follow up what I'm doing by doing good to others. And when I do that, I will dwell in the land, or the place of my habitation will be secure. I'll be able to dwell there. And the Amplified says, feed surely on faithfulness. I think the other translations also say, feed on.
Or be fed. Yeah. Or sometimes it says, in yours it says, enjoy safe pasture. Well, David's still talking here.
He's still.
Leading beside the still waters.
It's related to Psalm 23.
Pastures,
One of the references I made earlier said you'll see certain aspects of this in his other Psalms. So we're going to trust, lean on, rely on, and be confident in the Lord. This person that's walking in the ways of the Lord, that has a steadfast heart, he has an established heart, and he's spiritually minded, he's going to trust in the Lord. He's going to lean on him. He's not going to fret. He's not going to be envious. And he's going to be confident in the Lord. When I look at myself, and I know I need to walk in the ways of the Lord, do I qualify? See, I need to ask myself, am I doing that? Thinking back to the last major issue I had, how did I handle it? Did I trust in the Lord? You know, I got to ask myself these questions. Okay, listen to Proverbs chapter 3.
Proverbs?
Yeah. We're going to look at that because Proverbs has something to say about it. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. Lean on, trust in, and be confident in the Lord. Then it qualifies it. It says, with all your heart and mind. And do not rely on your own insight or understanding. In all your ways, know, recognize, and acknowledge him. And he will direct and make straight and plain your paths. Now, if I'm walking in the ways of the Lord, I'm walking on his path. I'm asking him to direct my path. As I walk in the ways of the Lord, and I'm confident in him and trusting him, he's directing my path. He's teaching me how to choose, as we talked last week. And he's making plain my path. Mm-hmm. Because I am trusting him. I'm leaning on him. I'm confident in him with all my heart and mind. Now the mind, the heart is the spirit. The mind is my emotions and will, my carnal nature. So both my spirit man and my carnal nature are trusting in the Lord. Now, it's easier for my spirit man to trust in the Lord because the Holy Spirit and my spirit are one. I'm born again. It's harder for my mind to do that because I've got 73 years of practice of not doing that in a lot of ways. And you guys of other ages. But most of us will practice not trusting in the Lord. We'll trust more. We don't even think about trusting the Lord until the problem gets so bad we can't do anything about it. We'll trust in man. We'll trust in the circumstances. We'll trust in all kinds of different things. But we don't think about trusting in the Lord. So this fella here trusts with all of his heart and all of his mind. That's what we're supposed to be doing. No matter whether it's a small circumstance or a large circumstance, this person is supposed to be trusting in the Lord with all of his heart and all of his mind. Now, verse 4 in Psalm 37, delight yourself also in the Lord, and he will give you the desires and secret petitions of your heart. We talked about delight last week in Psalm 1. David, he mentions delighting throughout a lot of his psalms, or being joyous, being happy in the Word, being... Are we happy when we read the Lord Word? Are we happy when we conform to the Word? Does it bring us joy? Does it bring us delight? We're supposed to delight ourselves in the Lord. When I think about all that God has done for me, I delight in that.
Amen.
I delight in what He's done for me. I mean, salvation alone is a major deal.
Amen.
And then all the other things that He's done for me from the time I was born, really conceived on through, He's been right there with me. He's done so much for me. He's done the same things for other people out there, but a lot of them don't know it. They don't even think about it. And it says, if I delight in the Lord, that He will give me the desires and secret petitions of my heart. And it says secret petitions. It doesn't mean things that nobody else knows. It could mean that. When I read that and saw that way, I thought, you know, there's things that God has placed in my heart that I don't know anything about. There's desires and petitions in my spirit man that are there. But I don't know that. I don't know it. When I get, the closer I get to the Lord, the more He reveals those secret desires and petitions. And every one of them are related to my relationship with the Lord, related to what He wants to do in and through me. There are things that are that's in my heart that I have no knowledge of, but I will.
Amen.
I will. As I draw closer to Him, those desires and petitions of my spirit man will be revealed. And that's so awesome to me. So, the next one, verse 5. Commit your way to the Lord. Commit. Do you know I can trust in the Lord and not commit to Him? We don't know what commitment is in our season we're living in. Commit your way to the Lord. And the Amplified says, to roll and repose each care of your load on Him. Trust, lean on, rely on, and be confident also in Him, and He will bring it to pass. And He will make your uprightness in right standing with God go forth as the light, and your justice and right as the shining sun of the noonday. Glory to God. So if I commit my way to the Lord, I trust Him, And I take all these problems and issues of my life, and I roll and repose my load of care over on Him, then He will bring those secret petitions to pass in my life. He will bring to pass the answer to those issues and problems that I'm rolling over on Him. And also, not only will He take care of those, but according to this, He will make my uprightness and right standing with God go forth as a light. Go forth as a light. So, I'm not the only one that's going to know what the Lord is doing. Others are going to know also.
Amen.
It's going to go forth as a light, not only to myself, but to others. My life will be shining forth as a light to others. They'll see God working in my life. But then it says, and your justice and right as the shining sun of the noonday. I will walk justified in my life, and I will not judge others. Hallelujah. And that also will be as the shining light. Proverbs 16:3. I'm just going to mention it real quickly. Go to Isaiah 26. But I'm going to read Proverbs 16:3. Commit your works to the Lord, and your thoughts will be established. That's basically what he just got done saying. That's Proverbs 16:3. But if you go to, I'm going to jump right to Isaiah 26. That's why I said that. Proverbs 16:3. Commit your works to the Lord, or your ways, and your thoughts will be established. Isn't that awesome? If I commit myself and my ways, it quickens my mind. My thoughts will be established because I commit my way to Him. And then Isaiah 26, verse 3. Now, Isaiah here is talking to the Lord. You will guard him and keep him in perfect and constant peace, whose mind, both its inclination and its character, is stayed on you, because he commits himself to you, leans on you, hopes confidently in you. So trust in the Lord, commit yourself to him. Lean on him, hope confidently in him forever, for the Lord God is an everlasting rock, the rock of ages. So the first verse 3 is you're talking to God. Verse 4, you're talking about what God's doing. You, God, will guard him and keep him in perfect and constant peace, whose mind, both its inclination and its character. So this is this person's way of life, is stayed on you, or he's fixed, he's committed, because he commits himself to you, leans on you, and hopes confidently in you. Do you want perfect and constant peace? I do. So this is this person that's walking in the ways of the Lord, who has an established heart, who is spiritually minded. That's well worth it, that one thing right there by itself. Hallelujah. He will guard me and keep me in perfect peace because I've committed my ways to Him. Now, verse 7 in Psalm 37. We'll jump again in verse 7. Back to Proverbs again, but after that we won't be jumping around too much. So we're going back to Proverbs in a minute. Verse 7 of Psalm 37. Be still and rest in the Lord. Wait for Him and patiently lean yourself upon Him. Fret not yourself, there it is again, because of him who prospers in his way. Because of the man who brings wicked devices to pass. He's basically restating his fret not in verse 1. Be still and rest in the Lord. Wait for him and patiently lean upon him. If I'm trusting in the Lord, that's going to be my character. I'm not going to have a problem waiting on the Lord. I'm in constant communion with him. I'm going to wait for him patiently. It doesn't mean just to sit down and sit there. To me, that word wait has more than one meaning. To me, the waiting on the Lord is serving him. You wait on a table.
Yeah.
You're serving the table. You're waiting on the Lord. You're worshiping him. You're doing something with this time that you're just sitting there and waiting for something to happen. There's a process going on. You're waiting for the process to continue, but you're not just sitting there not doing anything. If we don't watch ourselves, we'll see that word wait as a sit down and do nothing. No, there's more to that kind of a wait. I'm serving him now with full knowledge of the processes underway. Yes, I'm waiting for the completion, but I'm still doing something. Proverbs 10, verse 22. The blessing of the Lord makes one rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. Now, if you get rich in the world's way, there's sorrow comes with it. You're never really satisfied with it. You're never at rest or peace. You're constantly protecting it, constantly worried about it. You're hoarding. You're buying things you have no need for. You wind up in sin. But there's no sorrow when the Lord makes you rich. When we reviewed Psalm 112 last week, we talked about wealth. Now, this word rich here does not necessarily mean money, although it could. Wealth and riches are in his house. That's what Psalm 112 says. We talked about that. A person that is in need of healing, well, that could be something that's rich to him. Health would be considered something that is that's rich to him if he's poor in health. Rich, I mentioned a person in Africa, I mentioned last week. Rich, that guy may be a cow. Nobody else has one. He's wealthy. We can't define rich as just money. There's a lot of other things that qualify for being rich. And if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are wealthy. You are rich beyond measure. Richer than the person who does not. And he may have a lot of money. So, but the blessing of the Lord makes one rich. Now, who had that verse? The Jews did, right? The Old Testament. This is in their book of Proverbs. Solomon wrote that. Was he rich?
Yep.
Yes, but he was wealthier with wisdom than he was
initially.
The wisdom made him, okay? So if one has wisdom, he's wealthy. But see, the Jews, this is one of the verses that I talked about that a Jew thinks you're supposed to be wealthy or something's wrong with you. They considered a poor person have done something, he's done something wrong to be that way. And this is one of the scriptures that they use for that. The blessing of the Lord makes one rich, and he adds no sorrow to it. So if this person is poor and destitute, then apparently the blessing of the Lord is not on him. Now let's look at Proverbs 28. And again, verse 22. Proverbs 28, 22. A man with an evil eye hastens after riches and does not consider that poverty will come upon him. A man with an evil eye hastens after riches and does not consider that poverty will come upon him. Now, it didn't say the riches will bring the poverty. It says the evil eye will. The love of money is the root of all evil, not money.
The translation brings it across as a stingy man is eager to get rich and is unaware that poverty awaits him.
Stingy man.
Points to that.
Yeah. Well, that's evil in God's eyes.
Yeah.
But a person that has the riches and he's giving, he's sowing, he's doing good, he's walking in the ways of the Lord, it's not going to come to poverty for him. But it will for the guy that's not walking in the ways of the Lord. And now verse 8 in Psalm 37. We should stay with Psalm 37 now, as far as I know. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not yourself. It tends only to evil doing. For evildoers shall be cut off. But those who wait and hope and look for the Lord, in the end, shall inherit the earth. Hallelujah. So, there's no end to the prosperity of the person that waits and hopes and looks to the Lord. He's walking the ways of the Lord. He's spiritually minded and established heart. There's no limit to what God can do through this person or for this person. He's not being limited in this person's life. But if I walk in anger and wrath and I fret, I've automatically limited God and cut off that provision. So he says, cease from anger. So I'm supposed to stop it and then forsake wrath. Forsake it. If you forsake something, it's totally out of your life. You're forsaking it. If you're walking in anger and you're wrathful, you're going to suffer for that in a lot of ways. And the word in James says, there's every evil work there where there's strife. Where there's strife, there's confusion in every evil work. Now, verse 10, for yet a little while, and the evildoers will be no more. Though you look with care where they used to be, they will not be found. But the meek, in the end, shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. So just as it said earlier in Psalm 37, they're going to be cut down like the grass. They're going to wither. Their time frame, even though they look very prosperous and have everything, because they're doing it without God, they're not walking in the ways of the Lord, this is an evil prosperity they have, they're going to cease. It's short-lived. Even though they may have it throughout most of their life, it's still short. It's still bringing misery. One of the problems with Rockefeller, well, he was one of the most wealthy men there ever was. But his wealth was eating him alive. He was sick. He was eating, all he could have was milk and eggs, basically. He was dying. And then he started giving his money away. Mm-hmm. He was healed. He couldn't give it away fast enough. He started March of Dimes and all kinds of things where he gave his wealth away. He couldn't give it away fast enough. It kept coming in, and his health returned. Because the money didn't have him, he had the money.
You know, it says in Matthew chapter 6, and you said this earlier, in chapter 6, 22, it's part of the Sermon on the Mount.
Yeah.
It says, the light of the body is the eye, therefore thy eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? And it says here that the Greek says, it's the lightness and the darkness here is about being either generous or stingy. That's what the Greek means.
Well, again, like I said about riches, generous or stingy doesn't necessarily mean money.
Right.
It can be your life itself. Stingy with yourself. Stingy with doing things for others.
Where your heart is, where your treasure is, that's where your heart will
be.
And then he talks about your eye being light or dark.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. So the condition of the heart is what Jesus is talking about there. Not necessarily money.
And that's when he said, no man can serve two masters.
Yes.
Cannot serve God and mammon.
Yeah.
He's talking about being either generous or stingy, not just evil and good.
Yes. Which, if you're generous, you're good.
And if you're good, you're generous.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And we talked about that in Psalm 112 last week. That's the image of that person that has an established heart. A meek person, the Bible says Moses was the meekest man that ever lived. He was very meek. It doesn't mean weak. If you go to the definition of meekness, it's not weakness. It's a person that is kind, it's a person that is generous, a person that is humble. Moses is anything but weak. Stand in front of God and say, no, you're not. You're not going to wipe out all of Israel. Remember your covenant that you made with Abraham, Isaac. That's not a weak guy. No, it's not. It's not a weak guy. Now verse 12 in Psalm 37. The wicked plot against the uncompromisingly righteous, the upright in right standing with God. They gnash at them with their teeth. The Lord laughs at the wicked, for he sees that their own day of defeat is coming. I get the image of God saying, you're going to what? You know, it's as he laughs at him. The wicked plot against the uncompromising righteous, the upright in right standing with God. They gnash at them with their teeth. The Lord laughs at the wicked, for he sees that their own day of defeat is coming. 14. The wicked draw the sword and bend their bows to cast down the poor and needy, to slay those who walk uprightly, blameless in conduct and in conversation. The swords of the wicked shall enter their own hearts, and their bows shall be broken. See this comparison here between this person that's walking right with God. The person has the established heart, walking in the ways of the Lord, spiritually minded, and this person is evil. Now they draw their sword out, but what happens to it? It enters their own heart. You know, I claim this over certain countries that are doing things that they shouldn't be doing. It can be a person or a whole nation. I don't want the good people hurt, but their leaders, they need to be removed. They're killing people. They're destroying things. And it says here, their sword will enter their own hearts.
Well, they're going to reap what they sow.
They're going to reap it. Exactly. That's basically what that is. Their evil will come back on them. Verse 16, I'm going to try to, there's 40 verses, I'm going to try to read these real quickly. Verse 16, better is a little that the uncompromisingly righteous have than the abundance of the possessions of many who are wrong and wicked. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholds the consistently righteous. The Lord knows the days of the upright and blameless, and their heritage will abide forever. Hallelujah. So better is a little with the uncompromisingly righteous. You know, a little that man has is going to go much further and do more than the abundance the other person has that's wicked. Verse 19. They shall not be put to shame in the time of evil, and in the days of famine they shall be satisfied. It don't matter how much money you have if it's a famine. You're going to have to eat too. Your money may not buy your food. But here it says, they shall not be put to shame in the time of evil, and in the days of famine they shall be satisfied. I claim that. But the wicked shall perish. The enemies of the Lord shall be as the fat of lambs that is consumed in smoke, and as the glory of the pastures, they shall vanish like smoke they shall consume away. That's what happened to the wicked. The wicked borrow and pay not again, for they may be unable, but the uncompromisingly righteous deal kindly and give, for they are able. So the uncompromisingly righteous will be able to give. They may be giving their time, may be giving their love, may be doing something for the other person, but they are able to give. You know, a lot of people that are considered very wealthy are wealthy only on paper. Mm-hmm. They owe everybody. They got that way because they manipulated different things.
Wheeling and dealing.
And they owe a lot. They're not necessarily actual cash. They may not have that much. But this person is dealing with what he actually has, and he's using it right. Verse 22, for such as are blessed of God shall in the end inherit the earth, but they that are cursed of him shall be cut off. The steps of a good man are directed and established by the Lord when he delights in his way, and he busies himself with his every step. Though he falls, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord grasps his hands in support and upholds him. I like that image, you know. Yes, I may have trouble, I may fall, but the Lord's going to grasp my hand and lift me up. But the one that's not walking with God does not have that. When they fall, they stay down. Verse 25. And I reword this. I'll read it the way it is, and I'll tell you how I change it. See, I confess this scripture. This is one of my scriptures I confess. So I don't like saying these first few words. I have been young and now I'm old. I don't like that. I say, in all of my days. Now that's, I might be young, I might be old, but I'm not going to confess I'm old. Yes, I'm 73, but that's not old. It is to somebody that's 50 or 40 or 20, but it's not to a guy that's 73. I have been young and now am old, yet have I not seen the uncompromisingly righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. He's saying, in all of my days, I'm old now, and all of these days I've lived, I've not seen the uncompromisingly righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. So my walk with the Lord is affecting my seed, my children. Verse 26, all day long they are merciful and deal graciously. They lend and their offspring are blessed. Now that's kind of what he said in Psalm 112. Depart from evil and do good, and you will dwell forever securely. For the Lord delights in justice and forsakes not his saints. They are preserved forever, but the offspring of the wicked in time shall be cut off. So if you're going to walk wickedly, it's going to affect your offspring.
Yeah.
Now they can change that on their own. They can get right with God, but it don't mean they will. Verse 30.
And
29. Oh, 29. Let me go back to 28, because they're connected. 28. For the Lord delights in justice and forsakes not his saints. They are preserved forever, but the offspring of the wicked in time shall be cut off. Then the consistently righteous shall inherit the land and dwell upon it forever. When those wicked are out of the way, who's going to take over?
Right.
The wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. Verse 30. The mouth of the uncompromisingly righteous utters wisdom, and his tongue speaks with justice. The law of his God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide. The wicked lie in wait for the uncompromisingly righteous, and seeks to put them to death. The Lord will not leave them in their hands, or suffer them to condemn them when they are judged. Wait for and expect the Lord, and keep and heed his way. or walk in his ways. And he will exalt you to inherit the land in the end. When the wicked are cut off, you will see it. I have seen a wicked man in great power, spreading himself like a green tree in its native soil. Yet he passed away, and behold, he was not. Yes, I sought and inquired for him, but he could not be found. Mark the blameless man, and behold the upright, for there is a happy end for the man of peace. As for the transgressors, they shall be destroyed together. In the end, the wicked shall be cut off. But the salvation of the consistently righteous is of the Lord. He is their refuge and secure stronghold in the time of trouble. And the Lord helps them and delivers them. He delivers them from the wicked and saves them, because they trust and take refuge in Him.
Amen.
Amen. I wish I could have taken all that apart. But praise God. So we see the difference between the consistently righteous, or the person walking in the ways of the Lord, being spiritually minded, having an established heart, and the one that is not.
Amen.
I don't want to live the way the one that is not. I want to find out what the ways of the Lord are.
Amen.
I want to walk in His ways. And thank God when we're not, we can repent. Thank God we can say, Lord, I blew it here. I messed up. I was wrong. And I didn't do it according to your word. I repent. And I ask for your forgiveness to be manifest in my life. He's already forgiven me. I just need it to be manifest. And I thank you, Lord, that you have forgiven me. I receive it. And Lord, I am so thankful for your mercy.
Amen.
Now, when did he forgive me? Later on? No, right when I asked. Matter of fact, I was already forgiven. I just received it then when I asked. Positioned myself
for all.
Pardon?
Once and for all.
Once and for all. The Amplified says in 1 John 1:9, it says continuously cleanse. I like that. We'll continuously cleanse. I like that image. Most of us just say, well, I got washed up 10 minutes ago. I guess I got to go back again. Just stay repentant. Yes. If I repent, it means turn away. So if I'm having trouble with something, going back all the time, what's that mean? It means that I got to get some word here. It means I got to work on this because something's not right here. I should be stronger than that. Or I've got an outside influence that's coming in that shouldn't be there. I may have to do some binding and loosing. You know, or whatever. But whatever the case may be, once I repent, I should be stronger the next time. You know, and eventually that not affect me anymore. I took time one time to go through all of Psalm 37, and it took 3 or 4. Mm-hmm. You just can't do it, and there's just too much there. Mm-hmm. But it is an excellent picture of both sides. And yes, it's pre-cross, but like I say, the things he says still apply.
Amen.
Post-cross. Well, Father, we thank you for this time in the Word. Thank you for these images in the Word. Thank you for the truth of your Word. Thank you for showing us your heart. Oh, Lord, you're so good to us, and you're so merciful, and we're so thankful for it, Lord. Teach us how we choose in our daily lives so that we can walk in your ways. We can be spiritually minded, and we can have this kind of an established heart that's pleasing to you, Father, that you can flow through us the way you want to those around us, Lord. We thank you. Not only will you teach us, but I know, Lord, that you'll encourage us, because sometimes we need a little nudge here and there, and we thank you that by your Spirit you're doing that.
Yes, Lord.
We give you praise for it in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.